Hey, greetings. This is Brother Jim from DontPerish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you're doing great today. We had a glorious day. Preached the gospel at a festival. Lots of gospel cards went out. Had some good conversations. What a glorious, glorious way to spend a day. Hey, I want to talk to you about a topic that's near and dear to my heart. It comes up often. I should have had a teaching on this already. Romans 7. Was Apostle Paul just a big hopeless sinner? Romans 7. Was Apostle Paul just a big hopeless sinner? You know, I get this constantly. Many things I get constantly out here. Men telling me that we have to sin all the time. There's no hope. In your flesh, you can't overcome sin and walk in holiness. And they're always quoting Romans 7 as their so-called proof. It's really the only scripture they have to try to defend their sin and their fleshly life. But it's not proof at all. And I'm going to prove it to you. It makes me righteously angry how they slander God's word, slander Paul. And I want to prove to you and show you why it's a lie. Now, this entire chapter 7 is really about the fallen flesh and the hope we could have in Christ. And then it leads into Romans 8 about walking in the Spirit versus the flesh. So if you just pluck out this little part about Romans 7 without reading Romans 8 about walking in the Spirit, not walking in the flesh, which is death. Also Romans 6, which says, shall we continue to sin now that grace has come? No, God forbid. But they pluck out these verses to defend their sin. Let's take these verses from chapter 7. Let's go over them, okay? Let's go there. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Okay, so here we see Paul, of course, is acknowledging God's law. He was a Jew. He believed in God's law. He taught it. He's just acknowledging in this area of Scripture, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Kind of goes back and forth there. It's kind of hard to follow. But what he's saying here is that sin, not the law, causes death. And when sin, the flesh, is compared to God's law, it's exceedingly sinful. That's what Paul's saying. Contrasting the flesh and sin to God's law, right? Let's keep going. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Okay, they jump all over this verse and they say, see, Paul said he's carnal, he's sold out to sin, he can't do anything, it's hopeless, you're going to sin all the time. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is teaching what the rest of the scripture teaches, is that man is indeed affected by the fall of Adam and Eve. The flesh is, of course, carnal, and it is against the things of God. We know this. It's from all over in the Bible. Also, it's from Romans chapter 8. But you can't separate that from the fact that we can choose. We have free will. We're not totally depraved. That's a Calvinistic lie. We have the choice to choose a path, a way, a Lord, a Savior to assist us. Let's keep reading on. That verse right there in verse 14 does not mean we can't overcome sin. It just is stating the fact that our flesh is fallen because of sin. Verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Again, this is really hard to follow along here. But in context, all Paul's saying here, go back and read it again, verse 15. He's saying the flesh will choose to do that which is sinful all the time. Yep, no argument there. We know that. The fallen flesh is sinful. He's not saying he's powerless to overcome sin and live a godly, holy, obedient life. And I'm going to prove that as we keep going. So as we take this apart, I hope you're seeing this. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. So Paul is saying here, good and evil is contrasted, and the law of God is good over sin. Pretty common sense there. Verse 17, now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Interesting. So here Paul makes a distinction of him being a servant of God, born of God's Spirit, and in his sinful flesh, it causes him, in his carnal flesh, I should say, causes him to sin. So we have a spirit man, we have a fleshly man, and it wars inside of us. Doesn't mean we can't win the war. Nowhere does the scriptures teach that. It teaches the opposite. We can win the war, and I'm going to show you how. But we can win it, all right, as the scriptures teach us, if we choose correctly, if we battle God's way, and we walk in the Spirit of Christ. Let's keep going. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, that's flesh means carnal, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Okay, stop right there. This is Apostle Paul, handpicked by Jesus, trained by the Holy Spirit in Jesus for years. Did you see all the good Paul did? Did you see all the righteous, holy, obedience, teaching, inspired scripture? 70% of the New Testament, I think, is Paul's writings. And they say, see, Paul couldn't do any good. No, that's not what it's saying. Paul is saying that there's nothing good in his flesh. All right? We don't live in the flesh for Christ, do we? His will, the spirit man, wants to do right. This is the contrast he's making. But the flesh doesn't allow him to do what God has called him to do, to live in holiness and obedience. If you focus on the flesh, if you live for the flesh, you're going to live in sin. We're going to see that the Word of God teaches that. But if you focus on the Spirit, there's the key. So again, this entire teaching is about the fallen flesh, carnal man, versus the spirit man that Christ has given us. It's not that we can't stop sinning. All right? Now, I don't teach sinless perfection, but if you can go, if you are on a sin scale of 10 in your life when you come to Christ, you can whittle your life down to a 2 or a 3, to where your flesh doesn't rise up as often, to where you master sin. And you can get really close to walking in total holiness. I believe that. Not absolute perfection. Only Jesus could do that. But we can overcome this flesh is the point. So remember that. This entire teaching is about the fallen flesh. The teaching of Romans 7 is about the fallen flesh versus the spirit man. And they always focus on when they use this to defend their sin. Oh, look at the flesh. Look at the flesh. The fallen flesh. Look at the flesh. They never really go on in the scriptures, Romans 8, to see that the contrast is the carnal fleshly man. The answer is to walk and live in the Spirit. But let's keep going. Verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Again, they jump on this verse and they try to say, see, Paul just sinned constantly. Paul just sinned all the time. It was hopeless. He couldn't help himself. He was wicked. He was evil. That's not the Apostle Paul we see in Scripture. Paul is just confirming what we all know and what the Scripture teaches all over. Our flesh is sinful. It's wicked. It's fallen. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Yeah, the carnal heart of man. But what do we get when we come to Christ through the gospel? We're going to cover this. We get a new heart and a new mind, don't we? We get the Spirit of God. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Interesting, isn't it? Have you ever noticed when you're trying to obey God and you do what's right and good and pure and true, have you ever noticed that the ability to do the opposite or something's lurking right there, could be the enemy, could be your carnal flesh, to take you in the wrong direction? I know sometimes I go out witnessing, I got to be careful. A man makes me mad, my flesh can rear up. It can take me off my course of serving God. It's always right there. I've overcome it more and more. The longer I walk and mature in Christ, Matthew 5:48, be perfect, mature in Christ. That word perfect means mature. But it's there still. It could rise up at any minute if I allowed it to. All right, so Paul is just stating that the good in his flesh is still there, ready to cause him sin, as I just said. We can't lose it completely in this life, this side of heaven, but we can work to overpower it. We're going to cover that. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So that makes sense. So the spiritual man, the inward man, delights and loves the law of God. The carnal, fleshly man, he hates it. It's like the criminals. They hate the police, right? But the law-abiding citizen appreciate and respects the police. Verse 23. Hope you can hear me over all the traffic. We're camped right next to a highway tonight, and I'm walking on a sidewalk. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now look at this contrast. Here is the war that's in us, the flesh versus the mind, the new spirit man. God gives us a new heart and a mind, amen, via the gospel. But the flesh is not taken away completely till we die. Oh no. We're in a battle every day to overcome it. You know that. Now Paul goes on and talks in Romans 8:13. This is interesting. This is why it's so important. You can't use Romans 7 without reading Romans 8. In 8:13, Paul talks about put the flesh to death. He uses the word mortify. The Greek word is thanatou. It means put to death. You're to strive to put your flesh to death. Okay? That means you're crucifying it, you're beating into submission, you're controlling it, so it doesn't control you. Over time, as I said, as you follow Jesus and mature, you slowly starve your fleshly man into submission to the spirit man, and you will overcome. This is what Paul's talking about. Not that he can't do it. Paul's just explaining, my flesh is wicked. You know what? I would admit that, and so would you. Yeah, so would you admit it. Your flesh can be wicked too. Paul's just admitting that. And then he goes on to tell us, the glorious good news. Ready? Verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Paul is saying, he's a fleshly man, or should say, he has the flesh inside him. I would not call Paul a fleshly man. He had the ability to walk as a fleshly man inside of him. Who could save this wretch, right? We're all wretches before Jesus Christ, are we not? Amen. I was the worst of the worst wretch. Sister Debbie would tell me she was worse. We were the worst. Who can deliver me, he says. Paul's crying out. His flesh is wretched. And you say, well, it's hopeless then. The flesh makes war. We can't win. All these men are right. Huh? All these worldly evangelicals and worldly Christians, so-called Christians. We're just going to sin all the time, right? No, that's wrong. That's wrong. There is a great hope. And they never keep going. I want to keep going. Verse 25, Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Simple statement right there. Paul gives us the answer. Jesus Christ, his shed blood and his resurrection, has overcome sin, death. He helps us overcome our flesh. The gospel good news that we come to him and his work at the cross by faith. Repentance, we turn from our sin, right? We get a new heart and a new mind to battle this flesh. Then we walk in holiness and obedience, battling the flesh, led on by the Spirit, and we endure to eternal life. That's what Paul's saying. If left to himself without the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the truth of God, and Jesus Christ his Savior, he's hopeless. So are you, and so am I. But don't leave it there. Paul says, Jesus Christ. This is why the biblical gospel matters. Brother Jim is always fighting for it. Not a false gospel, just believe. Not a lukewarm gospel. No born-again message in the gospel. No repentance. No power to walk the new spirit-filled life. A biblical gospel must be part of your life if you're going to overcome the flesh and enter into eternal life. You can't do it without the Spirit of God. Finally, Paul says, last verse of chapter 7. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There it is. He sums it up. With my mind, I serve the law of God. With the flesh, I serve the law of sin. The mind being the spirit man, right? So there's your answer. You serve God in the spirit, not in the flesh. Since last verse, Paul is telling us what this is all about. His new mind of Christ, he can keep and serve what God has commanded him to do in the law for the New Testament. But if he lives and allows his flesh to rule, and if he walks in the flesh, he'll serve his sin. That's true for us all. It is the spirit versus the flesh that Paul is talking about, and we know. Go read the epistles. We know Paul was not a fleshly, sinful man that walked in the sin in his flesh 24/7 to sin on and on, as these false teachers and wicked pastors will tell you. He walked in the Spirit. He led an obedient life. He overcame. He went on to his reward. But he warned us all in his writings that that wicked flesh is lurking in all of us fallen humans. So prepare, live on guard, and walk in the Spirit. Paul said things like this, many things like this, in the scriptures that he wrote. 2 Timothy 2:19 through 22. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's sin, folks. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor, some of dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Flee youthful lusts, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with all them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Does that sound like a fleshly, carnal, sinful, constantly sinning man? No, not at all. Paul was a man born of the Spirit. In Romans 7, he was admitting that he had a fleshly man that he battled, and his flesh would tell him, don't do what's right, do what's wrong. It's so much fun to do what's wrong. Sin is fun for a season, isn't it? Someone makes you mad, man, it feels good to pop them in the jaws, right? I go back to my old fleshly ways. But when I'm street preaching, I must walk in the Spirit and not the flesh, and I can overcome. If you're born again, you strive in the Spirit. We are overcomers, not willful sinners that walk in the flesh and can't have victory. How wicked to say that our God, who is so awesome, has not given us the Spirit to overcome. Yes, it's a battle. Jesus said, in this life you'll have many tribulations. How wicked of them to say they can't overcome sin. They don't want to overcome sin because they love their sin. And they want to defend it by twisting Romans 7. Now that we've covered Romans 7, the next thing I want to encourage you to do is go read the whole chapter of Romans 8. This entire chapter gives us the hope and the warning. It ties it with chapter 7. Romans 8 is tied with chapter 7. Gives us the hope and the warning of not living in the flesh, but living in the Spirit. If we live in the flesh, Romans 8 tells us it's death. Paul did not live in the flesh constantly. Again, liars constantly say that he did, but they're doing it to harbor their own sin. Recently, there's a miniseries out called The Chosen. Yeah, it's false, unbiblical, heretical, linked to Mormons and Roman Catholics. The director, I got a testing, I exposed it, I got him on video saying it. He said, Paul said he was sinned constantly. That is such a slander against the Apostle Paul and the work that Jesus Christ did in him. It's just not true. Paul knew his flesh was there ready to cause him to sin. He knew nothing good was in him as a falling man, but he overcame it by walking in the Spirit of Christ, living holy, walking in the ways of God, repenting when he needed to, not leaning on the flesh. Go read the New Testament. See the victorious life that Apostle Paul lived, victorious in the Spirit of God. And you and I can do the same thing. If you meet people who tell you that they can't stop sinning, you're going to sin all the time, you're going to be in your flesh, I want you to tell them to go read Romans 6 and Romans 8. Because right in between is Romans 7. Go read 6 and 8. It teaches in the midst of the flesh, we can live out holiness and obedience, that grace is no excuse to live in sin, that the flesh is no excuse to live in the sin. Let me give you one last verse. Paul tells us this. It's the hope and the cure. Ready? Galatians 5, 16 through 18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. There's that war, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Over and over and over, Paul contrasts the flesh and carnality with the spirit and the ability to overcome. If men tell you they can't stop sinning and they're going to sin all the time and walk in their flesh, this is nothing but proof they are fleshly, carnal men. They're probably not born of God. They're born of man-made religion. Do not let those people that live in the flesh and defend their sin teach you, influence you. Don't fellowship with them. They're leaven. Rebuke them and leave them. They tell you you can't obey God because of your flesh. You tell them to repent, be born again, and walk in the Spirit, and we can do much. I'm very passionate about this because I'm in the streets every day. It is demeaning to my awesome, holy God to say we cannot walk in His Spirit. He has not given us power to overcome the flesh. And Paul taught absolutely, indeed, we could walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To live in the flesh is constant sin and death. But you and I, we can and we must walk in the Spirit of God to eternal life, to victory. And as Jesus said, walk in Spirit and truth. Strive on, saints. This has been Brother Jim. I know this was a long one. We love you all. What a glorious day we had. I'm pretty pumped up out here tonight. Preaching the gospel, defending God's word, teaching God's word, discipling people, lifting up saints, rebuking false teachers, getting in Satan's face. His kingdom will not stand. Christ is on the way. You can live in the Spirit and not walk in sin and fulfill the lust of your flesh. Hey, let me know how I can help you in the faith. Go to don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. Articles, audios, videos, sisters' blogs. I got to get back right now. Do some posting before I crash for the night. We're really tired. We were up late last night counseling someone till 2 in the morning. We love what we do. We are not worthy to do it. But you know what? The Spirit of God has allowed us to overcome our flesh, to walk in victory. And God is using us to glorify Him. Oh, I'm boasting in Christ every day. Without Him, I would be nothing. Sister Debbie and I would be lost. We'd be in the world without hope. Cling to Christ. He's our hope. Repent and obey the gospel. Till next time, may God be praised.